The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning all, Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Monday morning at 4 minutes past nine. It's the 15th of June 2020 and we're here till 10 o'clock. Very good to have you with us for this morning and indeed for the week. You can email ryan@rte.ie, but if you'd rather text 51551, well, off you go then. And here's to a glorious sunny day, possibly by on the beach for some or studying at home for the youngsters or whatever you might be doing, but it looks like we're in for a good one. Here's hoping. Cancellations I've been mentioning of a given morning, but today's a strange one because what's been uncancelled is Fawlty Towers is back again because they cancelled it last week because of unsavoury descriptions and words and usages. And then John Cleese put up a very lusty defence by saying, no, I wrote that to prove that Basil was a racist and so therefore he was trying to expose how stupid people are. Oh, so the rush to cancel meant that they had to uncancel and therefore Fawlty Towers is now safe, according to the papers this morning. The UK TV, which is a subset of the BBC, said they'd restore the Germans episode following a public outcry, and John Cleese had branded the BBC boss as gutless and contemptible after the episode was taken down. And then they said it'll be coming back. And again, it comes back to that thing we were saying last week, that if you put a little warning in front of it saying, some of you might not like what you're about to see, so therefore just be aware. Good. And everyone winning that way. We're told today that blowing whistles and spitting have been banned at sports clubs around the country, while children are being warned against celebrating wins with high fives or hugs. Isn't that so strange? Every now and again you find yourself thinking, 4 months ago, a high five or a hug, or actually on spitting on a pitch, wouldn't be for everyone, but some people at a certain level of athleticism would feel the need to, and physiologically, fine. So, but under the new guidelines, no, none of this is allowed. It's going to hopefully prevent a resurgence in the coronavirus outbreak. And the issues that they've been issuing advice to clubs preparing to restart activities. Let's hope they recommend a gradual return of children, starting with training at home and then with teams and then competition. And very young children shouldn't be returning to any competitive sports for now because it's too hard for them to understand social distance and hygiene restrictions. And the guidelines are being issued after the government decision on June the 5th to allow outdoor summer sports camps to resume. I saw some of them. It's a strange thing to see. I drove past a field and I could see the kids. And, you know, kids should be huddled and running around in a mass like a swarm of bees. They're now parked out in these socially distant sporting activities. Like it'll become normal, of course, in due course, but it's just at first you go, what is that? And that is the reality. They said that spitting is strictly forbidding, while alternative alert mechanisms, that's a great Orwellian expression. How about that? Alternative alert mechanisms. What they're actually trying to say is a whistle. So an alert mechanism is so you blow the whistle, they've scored, you blow the whistle full time, you blow the whistle an injury. But this alternative alert mechanism, that is to say a whistle, will have to be found. So I don't know what the ref will do because there's spitting and spittle in the whistle. So the ref probably like, now, please, or something like that. I'm not sure what he's going to do, but it can't be a whistle. Well, it's a klaxon, bring it right back to the old days. But that's got to go. And children should not be allowed to share water bottles at training or during games. Bring their own bottle marked with their own name on it. No sharing of towels or other clothing, even where possible. Equipment should be cleaned. And here's the other one. Spectators are to be limited to one per child participating. So that's the mom, the dad, the uncle, the auntie, whoever it might be, but it's only one. And people are being warned against travelling with anyone not in their household to games and training. Otherwise, like the dog back in the 80s, they're stuck in the car looking out the window wondering when is that going to all be over. So they are the some of the new rules for the sport. But look, let's get the sports back in some shape or form. I mean, it's even listening to Darren Frell and our colleagues and friends in the sports department, they have been troopers getting through this, conjuring up all sorts of sporting memories or anything just to give people a shot at it. And, you know, for them to be talking about Rory McIlroy this morning and to be talking about different. I heard horse racing over the weekend on the radio, and I thought, you know, at least the doors are opening and the shutters are opening, and that's a good thing. That can only be a good thing. The journal.ie suggesting that the government is facing calls to look into this whole idea of a 4-day working week. How do you feel about that? 4 days a week. I think it's something that has become more and more in vogue. And the calls come as many workers, a lot of you listening this morning, continuing to deal with the impact of working from home and more flexible working arrangements during the pandemic. So they say that supporters of bringing in the 4-day week say that such a system could maintain or even increase productivity for many businesses in Ireland. Some firms have already made a move to 4-day week. Last month, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said that employers... I love her. I just think she's amazing. She said, employers should consider a 4-day week and other flexible working options as a way to boost local tourism and help employees address work-life balance issues. And as well as productivity, proponents of the 4-day week have argued that it could have a positive impact on the environment, as it would likely result in less pollution from commuting, but also helping families with childcare. And then you're into the whole work-life balance situation, which I think is not a bad thing at all. Okay, the Black Lives Matter story continues. And indeed, you saw that over the weekend, another shooting in the States, a guy running away with a taser gun and the police chased after him and shot him and he died. I mean, it's remarkable for all the wrong reasons. And I see Paul McGrath tweeted yesterday. He said, honestly, I think racism exists everywhere, but being Irish means we should know a little of how it feels to be perceived as less than, even when in our hearts we knew we are all equals. Hashtag respect. Beautifully put by a total gentleman, and admired that. And it was lovely. And a lot of people took that tweet and retweeted it by all accounts. And that's a good example of the kinder side of social media, where people are sending a good message of hope and kindness rather than the opposite of all of that. Band-Aid, the plaster people, have created a range of bandages that embrace the beauty of diverse skin, including hues that better match the skin tones of black and brown customers. So they made this announcement on an Instagram post, their traditional soft pink bandages that a lot of us would have grown up with. Apparently, they've been long being a point of contention among people of colour, as they say in this piece, who have questioned why white skin is the default shade for a range of flesh-toned products, including nude bras and other garments. But how did this take so long? Asked somebody on Instagram. And others pointed out, well, actually, there are black-owned bandage companies beyond Band-Aid, including True Colour and Brown-Diges, which were founded years ago to address this issue. So if you were looking closely enough, you would have found a solution to that. I saw they were announcing this yesterday. We're talking to an Irish guy, a great Irish guy from CNN, Donny O'Sullivan, joining us later to talk about conspiracy theorists and how the American online experience and offline is being dominated by a series of peculiar characters who are getting great influence in the system over there. And that always brings me to reliable sources on a Sunday evening. And they produce this cover that's this week's New Yorker magazine. If you haven't seen it, it's a remarkable piece by an artist called Kadir Nelson called Say Their Names. And essentially it's George Floyd, but also superimposed on his torso are the faces of people who have been from the time of slavery to the 50s and 60s and right up to now. That's the New Yorker cover this week. Very effective. I watched as it happens. I was trying to educate myself a little bit over the weekend with the idea of race in America and around the world. The 13th. I don't know if you've seen that documentary, but it's well worth watching because it's a standalone hour and a half, so it's not dragged out over 4 hours. But the one image that I can't get out of my head from it was. Yeah, and I'm not trying to lecture you or anything. I'm just telling you that it kind of got under your skin was. From the 60s, and it was a man, a black gentleman, an African-American gentleman walking down. I say gentleman carefully because he had a hat on and a tie on, and he just looked so, you know, somebody looks dignified. He just looked dignified. And whatever he was doing, he was walking down a street. And he was surrounded by white guys who were so angry with this guy for having the gumption to walk down the street, and their faces were filled with fury and rage, and they did this thing where they were shoving him, and his hat was starting to fall off his head, and he was trying to keep going, and they kept shoving him, and he was trying to keep going, and they kept shoving him, and they were trying, and he was trying to keep going, and it would make you cry because you could see he was just trying to keep it together in the face of this irrational cruelty. Yeah, it's worth looking at. And then strangely, they played it again a bit later on in this documentary. And they put it beside the image of an African-American woman who was being who was at a Trump rally, and she was being shoved, and she was trying to keep her dignity, and she was being shoved again. And so you talk about history, and then you talk about politics, and they say politics essentially is the first draft of history. And then you talk about learning from the past. I'm not so sure, but that's what whatever about the last few weeks, the conversation that has started has been so important. Somebody sent a tweet out in America over the weekend on a more humorous note, which showed an apartment window. And in the apartment window is a sign for Trump 2020. And above that is the apartment, clearly up the next flight of stairs, and it's the window above that apartment. And the person in the apartment above has a sign on the window saying, send a few quid to this at a Twitter account and I will tap dance at midnight, just to annoy the out of the people. Apparently people have been sending a lot of money to this guy's, essentially his Revolut account, to tap dance at midnight over the it's a bit petty, but they're doing it. That's the truth. You know, there's a lot of home boozing of late, and I've been trying to, as much as possible, if I'm having the few beers, buy Irish, which is great. But there's a Scottish beer called Brewdog, and Gavin Duffy, who you know from Dragon's Den, the Irish Dragon's Den, spotted this and said, what a missed opportunity by the BBC, which is true. So this guy says, in 2008, we applied to Dragon's Den UK and got as far as a screen test, pitched our hearts out before the producers rejected us, and they deemed us not investment worthy. And we were totally crushed. And we were prepared to offer the Dragons 20% for £100,000. And based on our latest BrewDog valuation, that investment would now be worth almost £360 million, meaning the Dragons missed out on by far the best deal in Den history. We got over the rejection eventually, but it took a while. And that is quite a story. Glad to see Sarah Corbett Lynch with her brother Jack and Aunt Tracy Lynch and in the paper today, in the Irish Independent today, because we have talked to Sarah a few times on the Late Late and here on the radio show with, because she wrote this beautiful book to help children deal with grief. And Ralph Regal tells us today that she's made headlines in the United States with her book about dealing with grief. Her book, Noodle Loses Dad, has made headlines in the States, featured in a special documentary report on a major TV channel, with Sarah revealing the inspiration for the book. So it's travelling across the States, and I'm delighted for her and her family, beautiful people. And there's a cracking picture by Noel Brown, there's a name, of the Ursuline Court in Waterford City, underneath a sky full of thunder and lightning at the weekend. It was all lit up, and apparently it was actually something like a theatre of lightning. It was a beautiful thing to look at, and it's quite exciting, isn't it? And that was Saturday night. Didn't, unfortunately, travel up the East Coast. I would have loved to have seen that, but it was there. And they're just saying, as the hairdressers haven't been officially told they can open this day 2 weeks, even though the clock is ticking for one and all. The one report today says hairdressers should revive the hygienic yet trendy bob cut. I always thought the bob was a very attractive cut, quite like the bob, kind of 20s feel to it. And they should ditch the blow dries. And this is from a former Vidal Sassoon director. He fears that the coronavirus is more likely to spread in long wavy hair, which has dominated female styles for years. So a bob for your troubles, and that would do the job. A couple of texts, 51551, and you can email Ryan at rte.ie at 18 minutes past nine. Can we assume that the various orchestras are sealing their trombones and other wind instruments regarding COVID? Tom wants to know. I have no idea how the orchestras are going to get around that business, but if anyone can enlighten us, please do. The fun is going to be spectators marching in single file to matches, 1 or 2 metres apart, down to and entering the grounds. Good luck, Leo, says regards to Liam. Well, it might be good luck, Michal, by all accounts, in a couple of weeks' time if he's in the top job. So let's see where that goes. Max says only issue with 4-day week is for those of us that work for a US company. Often we have teams we need to collaborate with. Already trying to find time with an 8-hour time difference is already a challenge without one day less to meet. Well, you'll have to work around it if the 4-day week is to come into any meaningful situation. And Noel in Dublin says, I recommend that the referees use miniature foghorns, which is probably a little pricey. Don't foghorn if you use canisters and stuff like that. I'm not sure. But we'll see where that goes. All very interesting. 51551 is the text number. You can email Ryan at RTE. .ie, and we have plenty to get to between now and 10 o'clock. I think we'll go here. Hey! It's Talking Heads at 22 minutes past nine. I'm agreeing with you on the 13th, says Anne Wren. I highly recommend any Toni Morrison, Maya Angelou, and James Baldwin books. We need to shut up and listen. I watched the 13th last week. Incredible show and a must see. Yeah, I would have thought it was something that if you've kids aged kind of 14 to 18 who have no idea what's happening with this conversation, I think it would be a really good starting point and say, right, here it is, crash course in what this is all about and why people are furious. It's absolutely worth a look at.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
I can identify, says a text, with that letter from Nina this morning. Since lockdown, I've given up my job with stress and minding a parent with Alzheimer's. The one thing I would ask your listeners is, and this is important for us all, don't give sympathy. Be more proactive by ringing the carers, offering to stay with the person being cared for while the carer goes for a walk. And when all this is over, half an hour's chat even with a cup of tea would be lovely. The loneliness and isolation is the one thing that's hard to deal with. It's like nobody cares. So maybe after this lockdown, people look around and offer a chat or a half hour break on a regular basis. It would mean a lot to the carers. You will know if it's not wanted, but too many carers will turn away a genuine caring person offering a friendly ear. It's a very lonely journey. So that's just worth thinking about. It's not the sympathy or the tilt of the head. It's the cup of tea and the chat. Think about that. All right, we'll take this tune from the Rolling Stones. A cracking tune from the Rolling Stones. We're just heading towards 10 o'clock. We'll take a quick break before we say goodbye. Has everyone else noticed, Josephine in Tipperary says, your socks when you're presenting the Late Late Show, have you only got one pair, or are they your lucky socks? What? The black ones with the little diamond shapes. You actually, no. We have countless pairs. But maybe from Friday was this compilation, then maybe they all the compilation just hit sock serendipity. No, but there's many, many, but I don't have lucky socks. Thank you for your wonderful, keen observation. It's bang on 10 o'clock now. Stay tuned for Sarah McInerney. Have a great day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.